You're about to.
Yeah, that's right. If you haven't yet, this is it. Anybody like webcomics out there?
Yeah.
Do any of you guys like candy?
Yes.
All right, we're about to combine your love of both of those two things here. Well, first of all, have you guys been here to one of our panels here at Long Beach before?
Anybody?
Really?
I got some nods.
I've got a couple of nods. Okay, good. Couple, so you guys know.
I'm sorry.
We want to get things rolling quickly today, so usually we've done trivia before to give out candy, but we're going to move things along. If you would like a piece of candy, what you need to do is raise your hand. We'll call on you. You have to share your favorite webcomic that you are not a part of. And what website, how we would find it real quick, and we'll give you some candy. Everybody want to start? All right, right over here. You got to stand up. You have to earn the candy.
VGCats. VGCats.com.
Excellent.
Nice. That's a good one.
And you have to come down here to get your candy, too. I'm not walking out.
And we have, what is our candy selection this year, Phil?
We've got Snickers, Three Musketeers, Twix, Milky Way. Go for it.
Wow.
All right. Right. See? He did not think anyone would like Three Musketeers. So.
I'm not a Three Musketeers guy. So.
Anybody else want to earn some candy? Yeah, straight over here.
Three word phrase is threewordphrase.com.
Three word phrase. Awesome. Come on in. Anyone else want some candy?
Yes.
The comic is not over, but I'm a huge fan of Chaos Comics. It was an LGBT webcomic that went on for a number of years. Really, really great story.
Very cool. The archive is still up, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Cool. Come on down. Anyone else want to start out with candy? All right, right here.
World Saga. World War Saga.
Is it World War?
Worm World Saga.
You never been to Worm World?
I'm not familiar. That's cool.
It's squiggly. Watch out.
Okay.
Anybody like Perry Bible Fellowship?
Yeah.
Yeah? No? That's a good one.
Battlepug?
I like that one.
The cool thing about webcomics is there are so many that we could all say our favorites and probably no one would have heard of any of them.
I've heard of that.
That's okay.
It's a blessing and a curse.
You want candy right here.
I want candy. Trying Human at tryinghuman.com.
Trying Human?
Trying Human.
What's that?
That sounds good.
A comic about aliens.
Oh, okay, cool.
Fun.
That gets you candy. Alright, then we got time for two more. Two more people who want candy?
Really?
That's it? Alright.
Anybody else wants candy?
We'll be giving more away. Okay, we got one right here.
What's the question?
What's your favorite web comic that you're not a part of?
God Hates Astronauts.
Alright, that's all it takes. Come on down.
I think you should have got candy just for not having any idea.
That was pretty good, yeah.
I
just
wanted to make sure.
Seriously, we'll take any answer. We just want to get rid of the candy.
Oh. Okay, one more here. Last one.
Arrow Over the Moon. It's a Friends comic.
Arrow Over the Moon?
Yes.
You're not involved?
I'm not involved.
All
right. Oh, technically I'm not involved, but I put it on the magazine I help run.
Okay,
and,
that's fine.
So
that's good.
You're a dealer.
Okay, I get my candy?
Yes. Okay, we'll allow it.
You're being a good friend, so we can't punish you for that.
That's true. All right, Josh.
You ready?
I relinquish the panel to you.
Okay. Then I'm going to get started here with our timer so that we stay on track. What's up, Long Beach Comic Con? There you go. We need it on the old recording here. Welcome to the Web Comics Advocates annual Web Comics Gathering panel. This is the fifth annual.
Wow.
5 years. Which is pretty cool. My name is Josh. I'm going to be attempting to moderate this crazy cast of characters here. And we'll see how that goes.
We hired a moderator, because I don't know if you guys have ever been to our panel before, but sometimes you tend to get off track.
Yeah. So I have the job of wrangling these guys, much like you would herd cats. With hopefully giving them, like, hey, you got like 5 more seconds to wrap up this point. So hopefully we'll keep things together. We're going to do some traditional panel stuff for a little bit here, and then we're going to open it up to audience questions, and the final kind of bit that we're going to do is a chance for you to tell us about the project that you work on. So if you have a web comic that you do, we'll have you come up, we'll give you the mic, tell us about what it is and where we can find it. So
you're on a timer.
Yes.
Quick show of hands, how many people here have a web comic that they might want to tell us about? Raise your hand. Okay, we got a few. Okay, that's good.
I don't know what kind of webcomic is this. It's like, I uploaded half of the JPEG, so.
That's okay. Even if you're just thinking about doing it, you can let us know. That's good.
All right, so let me introduce, if you guys aren't aware of who the webcomics advocates are, we'll kind of go into that. This is Phil Vecchio, one of the creators and authors of Brax, the Alien Rocker. We have Brendan Creasy, also from Brax, the Alien Rocker. And we have Patrick Skolin, who does the webcomic Super Siblings.
Thank you.
So let me... let them tell you a little bit about their projects. Phil and Brendan, can you tell me about Brax the Alien Rocker?
Yes, very quickly. We've been doing our webcomic for about a little over 5 years now. And we just did our 444th strip.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow. It's good. Good number to finish on for today. It's about an alien who comes to Earth to try to get into the music industry, and his best friend is a manta ray. So, yeah, if that appeals to you, you would definitely like that webcomic. So, you want to add anything?
And it's basically just Phil and I telling stories about our real adventures in the music industry.
And manta rays.
Yeah, through these characters. And
sea life.
And, yeah, and it's a lot of fun. We just had a lot of fun with it.
And, Patrick, can you tell us about Super Siblings?
Great. Super Siblings is written for geeks and their kids, a family-friendly webcomic about a brother and sister that have superpowers, yet they don't know each other's secret identity, and it turns out that the older brother's good and the younger sister's bad, so they become rivals. But the comic itself, day-to-day, the regular strip, is more about the family life, kind of a Calvin and Hobbes meets Tiny Titans kind of thing.
You got some good puns in there sometime, too, which I appreciate.
Thank you. I try.
So let's talk a little bit about how you guys create your comics. It's interesting, with the two different comics we have here, it's a very different setup. We have collaborators and then a single author, artist. Let's talk a little bit about that. Phil, Brendan, when you guys create your comic, what's the steps that you go through? How do you get an idea to the final...
Well,
finally, me.
First, I call Phil and I say, when are you going to put up a strip? And then I call 3 days later, I'm like, when are you going to do a strip? And then we use a lot of collaborative software because we don't live nearby. When we first started the comic, we lived right next door to each other, so it was really easy to get things going. Now that we live like a couple hours apart, we basically live on the internet, and so... We have a Google Doc where we have basically whenever we have new ideas, we'll put them there, and then we have a second Google Doc when those evolve into scripts. And because it comes from our lives, we kind of have an advantage because anything and everything that happens to us can end up in a comic, so it's easy to pull ideas. But in case we can't come up with anything, we have just giant files of all the ideas that we work on collaboratively through Google Docs. And then Phil... The thing is, also about our comic is neither of us can draw.
Not at all.
So, Phil painstakingly went, I don't know, you learned how to use Illustrator?
I've kind of forced myself onto Illustrator and figured out how to put together, well, it kind of goes back to, we were inspired by Dinosaur Comics. Anybody familiar with Ryan North Dinosaur Comics? Fantastic. If you're not familiar with it,
genius.
It's what, is it five panels?
Yeah,
it's five panels. They're all identical every single day, and all the changes in the dialogue.
One of the biggest webcomics on the internet. He does it for a living, and
it's hilarious. And so we saw that, and we're like, "That's awesome!" And he doesn't have to draw stuff, so if he can do that, we can do something along those lines. We have ours varies quite a bit more than that, but it's kind of the similar idea that it's about the writing and you know the little figures just kind of
for the most part. 5 years ago, you made these vectors, and. Now you just kind of move them around and resize them.
Yeah.
And
I move the eyeballs sometimes.
It's like the stamp tool in Mario Paint.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten past Super Nintendo.
But every once in a while, and then for super special occasions, Phil will come up with a brand new piece of art that takes him like 30 hours.
Yeah.
And then most of our comics just rely on the same characters, so that makes it where we like to focus on the writing and
So we write.
You write together, or
Both. Depends. It depends. Some of them, like I'll just write one, or Brendan will write one. A lot of them are ideas we come up together.
We'll even write the scripts together, just like whatever this is next, and then or we'll all write a script like here's what I think, and then Phil will polish it up. Like Phil's a lot better at like punchlines and things like that than I am, and so he'll kind of.
And I actually wind up assembling the final product then, and so a lot of times the script, you know, I'll tweak the script to fit in a word bubble or whatever, but.
And then Phil, like, that's the best thing is, like, we, as collaborators, as our skills complement each other because, like, I couldn't even do that level of artwork, but Phil knows nothing about web design and goes crazy involving computers, so I handle all of the website stuff, the posting. I taught Phil enough that he can actually post the comic, but even that sometimes...
It's hard.
He has to be like, Brendan, can you post this? So that's kind of where... I feel like we really share the work and complement each other because I feel like if we were both like artists, then we'd probably be fighting a lot.
Right. And Patrick, it's a little bit different of a situation for you.
Yeah, because Patrick knows how to draw.
That, but also your one-man operation.
So it gets uncomfortable when I have to fight with myself about putting things online and, you know, I wish I worked with someone else that I could blame them when it doesn't go up. But
that's all good.
Yeah. I started out just drawing by hand, and then I like to then scan it and clean it up in the computer. And it was a one-man show for a long time, but actually my 12-year-old son has become kind of the ghostwriter. I just follow him around, and he says funny things all the time, and I rip him off. So just having the family life, you know, I just always have a little notebook, you know, keeping track of what's going on, because I start using that.
So you'll start with a funny quote or quip that your son might have said, and then what's the process after that once you have an idea?
A lot of times what I'll do is just write out a script for myself so I don't forget. So I have just a running Word doc with, actually it's a Google doc that I just have with ideas and portions of scripts and stuff. And then every week when I need to have a comic done, I just go there and pick one and then just start drawing it and putting it together. So, and then I also have another document. I put together the comic version of the story too, because I have the three-panel strip and then I have the 12-page comics that I do. So,
right.
It's kind of extended version.
Very cool. So once you guys have created these characters, you've created this strip and you've put it up online. What's the next steps in terms of anybody can put something up on the internet, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee anyone's going to see it. So what do you guys do in order to get traffic? What are the sorts of promotion that you might do and that you found to work and maybe not work?
Kind of like if a tree falls online and nobody goes to the website.
Yes. If a website launches and no one goes to it, does it exist?
No, it doesn't.
Well, I think the biggest thing, and that's the biggest realization you have, is that at first, nobody really is reading your comic. But that can also be good, because that gives you a chance to try out dumb things and
put up whatever.
Yeah, just put up whatever. But you have to go into it knowing that at first, nobody is going to read your comic. But the whole thing is, hopefully, after a while, once people realize, oh, this guy's actually going to be here and is actually posting things, no matter what your comic is about, if it's something, like, true and real and good, like, it's going to find an audience. I mean, and I think we found that right away with Brax. Like, right away we had, as soon as we put it online, I think you don't just to start, you start, what was Reddit really wasn't a thing when we started, but first it was StumbleUpon was pretty big for us getting that out there. And then just, we would come to conventions and pass out flyers. Like, we went to, like, a lot of smaller things and just so where we knew, like, if somebody got a flyer, like, at San Diego, you give someone a flyer, it's probably going in the trash in, like, 2 minutes. Whereas if you're at, like, a small convention, like, we would go to the Shrine Show in L.A., like, the tiny little L.A. Comic-Con, and you can get a table there for $50 or whatever. I know it's up to, like, 100 now, but we would just give people, like, little mini flyers with like our strip on them, and at least maybe 5 people went home and actually looked up the comic, and after a while that just starts to build, and And that's kind of
and
what we
you
did.
You go from there.
Yeah, and then now, like, there's a lot more things that you can do to promote your comic. Like, I think for me, for us, like, Reddit was, like, huge.
Yeah.
And
because, I'll cut you off here.
I think I was going to say the same thing.
One of the things that ours specifically, like we said, is about music. And we've kind of done a lot of things to kind of cross-promote within that community. And so, you know, whatever your particular comic is about, whether it's, you know, a specific type of sci-fi or, you know, the LGBT community or whatever it is, you know, going to those people that have those interests is also important because those are the people that are going to want to read what you're creating there, you know. So, you know, if you're just kind of throwing it out there to the whole entire comics world, you know, you might hit some people, but if you can kind of focus that, then that'll help a lot too.
Patrick, yeah, we were going to, like, shows and giving out stickers. We made a lot of relationships with bands, like, things like that. So if, like, so for instance, one of the big comic success stories is Unshelved. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's a library comic. And they go to, like, librarian conventions. And it's
there's huge. A party, I can tell you.
And but they're always I know they've done really well for themselves because they find that niche.
Patrick, are there any tips and tricks that you do when you post a comic?
You know, for me, I think cultivating an email list has been really good. You know, I've tried lots of different things online, and that one seems to get the best response, is meeting people at conventions, having them sign up for the newsletter. That seems to keep them more engaged, and then that leads to, you know, building my Facebook page, I think, is the second best thing I've got going. Twitter, it seems to me, has kind of died off in terms of sharing links and stuff. I don't know if you guys find that or not, but
you just got to be a jerk on Twitter.
It seems like Twitter gets ignored more than it used to.
Twitter kind of became this echo chamber where it's just other webcomics artists retweeting other webcomics artists.
And I don't know if anybody goes there.
Those are like webcomics, people that already have webcomics. So it becomes kind of this thing where the only people that are seeing these are other creators. There's no real audience people that are really responding to this stuff.
So, Patrick, and I'll ask you guys this after him, same question. If someone out here, let's say they have a webcomic, you know, they're going to start one of those, right?
Yeah.
What's your advice for a person that's either just begun, maybe in the first stages, or maybe somebody out there is thinking, maybe I could do a webcomic. What's your advice for them?
I would say get it online because I found that, kind of like Brendan was saying a little bit earlier, that the more you do it, the more you get it online and kind of let it go and then do another. It's like the repetition that makes it better. You can wait too long and think about it, stew about it too much. So I say just go for it. As long as you have a good solid idea and you feel strongly about whatever your storyline is or your jokes or whatever type of comic strip you're doing, I think the sooner you get it online, and you could do it on a simple blog, you could do it on Tumblr, you know, you could do it just about anywhere. There's something that happens when you finally let it go and start another one. You know, that I don't know, you improve your writing, you improve your drawing, it just finishing it.
So no reason to hesitate.
I don't think so.
Just go for it.
Nothing to lose.
Because eventually you're going to talk yourself out of it and then you're not going to do it. And that's not good.
So what would be your advice?
Is that and then read this book.
If you haven't read this book, if you're interested in webcomics, you need this book.
There is a new edition out.
That's true. It's called How to Make Webcomics. It's the new one, the same title.
Yes.
Right? How to Make Webcomics. It's by Brad Heger, Dave Kellett, Scott Kurtz, and Chris Straub. It is fantastic. We are not connected to it in any way, but when we got this book, we had our comic up and running in what?
In a week.
A week after we got this book from Amazon. I think it's like $10 or something. So if you're interested even remotely in doing a webcomic, this is an essential.
They cover pretty much everything, stuff you wouldn't even think about, and it's very practical, but it's also entertaining. And again, like all we had going in, I'm like, I knew what webcomics were. I knew we had this idea, but I'm like, how the heck do you do this? What does it entail? And once we read this book, we had our comic up, and we had, you know, we were off and running, and we've been going ever since.
And the best part is because it's written by comic guys, it's basically, it's a comic book. Each section, a different guy illustrates, so if you're not a big reader, or you like comics, it's perfect. You can finish it off in an afternoon. So.
And then Brad Eager also runs a website, webcomics.com,
which it's a paid membership site, but it's the best $30 you'll ever spend, because not only does they have like discounts and deals and stuff, but it's all there's forums there where you can, the forums there are invaluable, because one, they're all on there a lot, but then it's other professional people trying to be professionals and not just like hobbyist people, and they give you very practical advice, like if you want to be like, should I go to this convention, or what should I, how do I, like if you're looking for like, if you want some crazy Photoshop like skill, people like to get help with that kind of thing, like just anything you can think of, it's an invaluable resource if you want to get serious. And it's really cool.
Great. And then kind of moving on past the beginning stages, you guys both have books up on stands. So you've published books of your webcomic. Tell me about that process. How did you go from having a webcomic that you put up to now having a book for it?
Well, you know, I think that's the ultimate goal, at least for me, was the webcomic is a way to publish the material, to hopefully build a fan base, and put it together without having to pay for the book in the very beginning. But then after a year or so, I have enough material to collect into a book version, and that's what I can sell. And so to be able to put this one together in particular, I went to Kickstarter and luckily had a successful campaign, was able to raise enough funds to actually publish the book. And that's what I get to take to conventions and stuff, is have a book with me. It's a lot better that way to have a book. You know?
And how did you find that process of making the book? Was it relatively easy?
Well, in terms of like the...
Actually publishing it,
yeah.
I mean, where are there things that you wait and you go, man, I wish I would have...
Well, one thing I had working in my favor is that in my day job, I'm a graphic designer, so I could do all the layout, I could do all the pre-press and put it together, so that wasn't a big deal for me. But I know that can be a challenge, so that is one part. You got to make sure you have... well, I guess this would be one tip. You know, when you're building your webcomic, make sure you keep a high-resolution version of your comic strip. So you have two. You know, one for the website that's low-res, but then a high-res version for your print comic. Because a lot of people forget that. And then if you go back and try to reuse web material,
it looks terrible.
You're kind of in trouble. And you get that.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm just kidding, fellas.
No, see, we knew to do that because people like Patrick told us, save your high-res graphics, make high-res graphics. So then it was a matter of converting, because our big thing was we didn't have a lot of money. We had zero money. So we did ours on lulu.com, which is a print-on-demand, so you're not putting our money up front, because we come from the music industry, and as Phil's garage full of unsold CDs will tell you, we didn't want to eat more money and just end up with boxes of books that nobody wanted, so we decided to go from a print-on-demand standpoint. And to be honest, I was shocked when we got the book, because I was expecting it not to look as good as it did. And I've talked to other professionals. I was just telling Phil a story about a professional that we know who was going to publish through like a big publisher, like one of the big companies in China. He got the books and they were terrible, and he ended up going like getting a refund and then publishing with Lulu, and nobody knew the wiser that he published them on Lulu, because people just always think these print-on-demand stores are second rate. They've gotten to the point where they're not, like they look just as good. And but yeah, I would just echo Patrick. We kept our files, so that way it was a matter of one, kicking ourselves repeatedly to get it going. But once we did, it was a matter of just popping in the, making a template, plopping in the strips, because we already had the strips, and boom.
Now I would just add too that one of the reasons that we started Webcomics Advocates, that's our group, you guys should definitely check it out. We have stickers up here for it. It's kind of just a community to help promote people to get into webcomics, because there's no barrier for entry with webcomics, especially. You know, the internet has opened up so that anyone can put their art out there. And even something like doing the book, I mean, we spent zero money up front doing it, so there's no excuse for anyone to not be able to put these things out. It's just a matter of, you know, learning what you need to learn and putting the effort into it. But really, if we can make a book, trust me, anybody can make a book or can get your comic up there. So one of the cool things we noticed walking around the floor out here, there's at least four different webcomic artists that have tables out there this year that started out coming to our panel like 5 years ago and had not even started putting up their webcomic yet. And they came to our panel, and now they're here like 5 years later with a table out there, you know, with books and all that kind of stuff.
That could be you. That could totally be you. That could be anybody in this.
So do it. Just do it. Don't let something get in your way. Find out and just get it out.
My next question was going to be about webcomics advocates.
I know.
But,
I jumped the gun. I got excited. Sorry.
I'm starting an alternate group.
Webcomics defendants.
Defendants, yeah.
we can talk the same joke. That was really funny. So let's open it up a little bit to questions. If you guys have a question,
anything like just even if you have very specific like questions about tech stuff or anything, feel free to ask. This is what it's for.
Right here. Do you sell like supplementary material like T-shirts, posters, or books, that kind of stuff?
I do. Yes.
How has that been?
Well, to be honest, and this is a question that I know is a little controversial with cartoonists and stuff, is I like to do fan art, and some people don't. And I don't really have a problem with fan art myself. And to me, that helps pay for the table. And it's also kind of a way to attract people to my table so they can then read my book. So I like to do T-shirts and posters and stuff, little sketch cards and commissions and stuff. Yeah, I like to do a lot in the style of my characters.
Okay.
And then also, I do a totally different painting style for posters and stuff. So, for fun, that's what I like to do. What about you guys?
We have not actually sold. We make stickers. That's pretty much it.
We give those out for free.
We don't sell them. Those are great. They're super cheap to make stickers.
And people hold on to them more than they hold on to business cards.
Because you can put it on something and stick it around. Anyway, but I think it's a great idea to do more. It's just not, you know, we haven't gotten to that place.
We did experiment with print. I know, again, like our comic doesn't quite lend itself to like the whole artwork thing, but I know a lot of people do this is selling prints. And we have, that's super easy. Like
we've done some.
We've done prints like to have at shows, but I don't think we're quite at the level. But they're super easy to do. We did them through like,
I printed them up at Costco, and they looked awesome.
Yeah, they do look really good. Like, people were like, whoa, these are amazing. And then you can sell them. But, like, I know a lot of artists that, like, make a lot of money just selling their art, like, not just their originals, but just prints.
Yeah.
So if you're an artist, you have a lot more revenue streams than if you aren't. But there's still creative things to do. We've been, like, I still think we could do, like because of a music thing, like a compilation, brass guitar picks.
Yeah, there's a lot of the
head is shaped very much like.
I know we need to do that.
That
right?
Seems like a no-brainer, guys.
Could
like
now put a logo on.
That's right.
With like 3D printing kind of happening, I think if you happen to know anybody that has a 3D printer, I know some people that do. They've been able to create a lot of cool little merch things for very cheap and easy. With that technology, I think as that grows, it's going to be easier. Because the biggest problem with shirts and things again is upfront cost, like. If you're thinking about shirts, if you don't have a huge audience, you're going to lose money because shirts are expensive.
Yeah, be careful. Make sure you know what kind of audience you have before you put a lot of money out to buy something that you're going to sell. I would say, don't go in the hole on that.
Well, one thing I would add to that also is something I've been using a lot through the web is Redbubble. Have you guys tried Redbubble or Society 6?
I buy things off of Redbubble.
Those are nice supplements online because they're on demand. So you can do T-shirts on demand. You can do iPhone cases on demand. Those are nice supplements. You don't have a lot of upfront costs.
Cool. Another question? I'm going to bring the mic because I realize we won't hear the question.
I wanted to ask regarding web design. What if you don't have web design skills and you want to start a web comic but you don't have the money to afford somebody to design the site for you?
Yeah.
How do you either recommend starting to gain those skills, or is there some kind of a certain software site that might be able to help you get started?
Well, there is so much software that's already out there. Like we use, we're kind of non-standard because I use block software. If most people, if you're just getting started, a lot of people recommend WordPress
and then they have a plugin called Comic Press. That's the easiest thing to do, is like WordPress and WordPress plugins. But we use, it's called B2 Evolution. It's just a blog software that I modified, and I have a friend who happens to like be one of the programmers for it, and he helped us out a lot. But even there's things specifically for webcomics that are free. And while I do recommend everybody to get a domain name and a site as soon as possible, if you have zero programming, coding, design skills, you can still get up and running. There's my favorite one now that has a huge community behind it. It's called Tapastic, T-A-P-A-S-T-I-C. And it looks great. They have mobile apps. They have... And you can post your comics there for free. And again, they have a built-in community so that as soon as you start posting there, you're going to at least get some readers. And it's really easy to then publish to Twitter, like just to post things to Twitter. And you retain all of your rights. You're not giving up anything. You can still have your... Because, like, for instance, I'm working on getting all of Brax on there just because it is a huge way to increase visibility. And... because we had 400 strips before I even found out about Tapastic, it's taken a while to get everything on there. But I'm going to use it for like Tap, our Android mobile app. Like we were lucky enough to get somebody that made an iPhone app for us. But now that Android's getting really big, I want an Android app too. So, and they have one already. So take advantage of what's already there. But to learn, if you're talking about wanting to learn like web design, there's plenty of tutorials. And again, Comic Press, I would really take a look at that. But then as far as just any kind of coding, there's plenty of online tutorials.
YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube, things like that. But really, if that's what's holding you back, I would just start by posting on there, and at the very least, get a domain name and have it redirect to those sites, and that's perfectly fine.
Follow-up question?
Yeah.
It's not really a question. I was just going to say, there's another programmable I also use Tapastic as well. I have comics on there. And if you update on Tapastic regularly, you become, I don't know what they call you, but like a professional, and they'll pay you to keep, you know, producing your work and things like that. So Tapastic's really good.
I've actually heard about them before, so I've been kind of on my list for a while.
It's
I didn't even know about my comics press before this element. So
it's cool to mention too that at the Comic-Con panel this year, the guy from Tapastic.
Yeah, Michael was there.
Was actually at the panel. They seemed very
super
pro
enthusiastic
community.
Yeah.
So
they're really nice.
And
they
super
actually
awesome.
Approached me. I didn't even know what it was.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right,
another question?
I guess I noticed there were VG cats when I was falling at that point, but there were certain months where there was no sort of story coming out. Do you ever reach those slumps at a certain point where you're writing your web comics? And I guess more of a follow-up question, is there a final, like, is there an end to the story that you're currently writing?
Are you talking about...
I've seen several web comics where nothing will probably come out for a week.
I have to come clean. I've had a couple weeks off on Super Siblings for the first time in 5 years.
Patrick, I'm afraid we're going to have to ask you to leave.
I know. I have to turn in my webcomic cred right now. I started a new job. Things got kind of hectic. And so I lost my buffer. And so I'm 2 weeks behind right now. So Monday, I promised to have the new comic up. But life happens. And I think the best thing you can do is just get right back at it as soon as you can. In terms of, for myself, my own storyline, I don't have an end in sight. It just keeps evolving as my life changes, the storylines change, you know? And that's kind of what I enjoy about it, is I'm just kind of following it wherever it goes. I don't know about you guys, but...
ours is kind of never-ending.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with that.
I think that's totally fine. I've totally, like... For instance, one of my favorite comics, Starslip, just ended recently, like the last this past year. But then he, because you know, if you have a new big idea that has nothing to do with your current project, what do you do? So he decided to end Starslip. He found a good way to do it, and then he moved on to his next project, which has been awesome. Brood Hollow is really good. I like that comic. But I think there is definitely a place for that. It just, once you have to really know your audience. and make sure you let them know where you're headed, like, if you can, because sometimes people get really upset. And but also realize it's your project, and you got to do what you got to do. And then as far as the... That's a good question you asked, because we've also...
Yeah, I also got a job this year.
We went, like, we went 400 and...
We went something like 420 strips without missing one, and then I got a job. And it's getting better now, but it was a big adjustment, so...
But that's the big thing, is that's usually where a lot of people will... If you get to a certain point, you just give up, or you like, oh, I can wait another week. At some point, you just got to do it. And if you don't have... And that's where having the file with all your... Any idea you have, put it down, because at some point, you're going to need that. That's going to save you if you have extra, just anything you get, because... Again, like, you're gonna hit those spells, and that can be like your saving grace.
Yeah,
I guess that could kind of follow into, you know, how to deal with writer's block, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, what do you do? How do you break through that? And the only solution I've ever found is just to write something, and if it's not perfect, it's not funny, let it go, and just use it. Use the best thing you got at the time, and then somehow writer's block takes care of itself, and I can get back on it.
Great. Any more questions? We'll go right here.
What is your experience with online ads? I mean, like, on your site, and how?
Like
successful?
Building revenue.
Yeah, that sort of thing. How has that worked for you?
For me, it fluctuates quite a bit. I was really happy when I finally hit the threshold that I was using Project Wonderful and then also Google Ads. And I think, to be frank, my best month was about $50. But it depends on traffic. And so my traffic fluctuates quite a bit. So that's been my experience. I don't know about you guys.
We have also done Project Wonderful. It has not been a huge generator. I think we've hit $50. Total. But one thing that has been cool out of that one almost kind of has a built-in community, too. We've found other comics who have advertised on our page and vice versa, right? So, to me, like, I think we're down. We just have the banner on it now, right?
Yeah.
But, so it's not really a huge generator of revenue, although, you know, if you get enough hits, it can be. But it's kind of a cool way to just, you know, be there and connect with other people.
We've ran into tons of webcomics people, and they're like, oh, yeah, Brax Comics, you know, I've advertised on your site, or we've advertised on their site, and it's kind of built. That's helped us a lot, also in, like, you know, just building our base.
And we dropped Google Ads because we just, you know, the Project Wonderful ones look pretty, and the Google Ads were kind of ugly, and we said we're not really making that much money, so we might as well make it look nice. So.
I think if you have a comic strip that's going to update every day, you'll have a better chance with advertising. Mine is either twice or three times a week. And those fluctuations in traffic, you know, affect it. But if you're updating and posting every day and you get a good rhythm, I think you get better results with ads.
And then I have no experience with this, but I know if you go on webcomics.com, I'm sure they can talk about it. But once you get to the Uber level, which probably won't be for a long time, there's the big ad networks, and usually they'll come to you, and you have to, like, have a certain amount of...
When you get to that point, you'll know it.
Yeah. So then that, and, like, you know, and that's kind of... But when you're just starting, just anything you can do, and again, Project Wonderful is great, just for that, and you never know. And also, you know, it's also a good way to, if you only have a few bucks to advertise, you can do some advertising, just a few bucks. And get the word out, you know, and even for free. Like, there's plenty of, like, we started just putting our ads up on any, because some people put up have free ad blocks, and even if that generates a couple hits, that's a couple hits that might see your comic, you know. Just treat any traffic as traffic, you know.
Great. All right, right here.
If you have a full-time job, like a day job, where do you find the time to work on your web series?
Good question.
For me at least, I know that, you know, I was a stay-at-home dad for a long time, and I just stayed home with the kids, and that was great, but now they've gotten old enough to start getting into school, and so like I said, I got a job, and now I do everything basically after the kids go to bed. I'm a night owl, and that's when I have the time to do it. I don't know that that's the answer for everybody, but that's when I get my stuff done.
Yeah, I have a full-time job, and even beyond a full-time job, I'm on call a lot, so I work a lot, but just the big thing for me is budgeting, like actually scheduling time and scheduling my free time, so I you know, at 4 o'clock every day, that's when I sit down and I work on, I do something, even if it's not like I'm going to write this many stories or I have to do this, it's like, okay, today I'm going to submit like my strip on two different sites, like just even if it's a small thing, but I make sure, like, so, like, you know, just budgeting the time and keeping it reasonable, but also just pushing yourself, and it helps having a creative. That's where having a collaborator helps, because at least you have somebody to be like, hey, Phil, when's the next strip? Well, you got that strip coming in?
Working on it.
You know? So at least having that helps a lot. Having, and then once you get to a certain point, having like just the whole idea that you have an audience and they're expecting it, and the moment you start missing deadlines, like I know for me, if there's a comic that I'm trying out and if they start missing strips, I'm out. Like, so that helps kind of keep the fire under you a bit. Once you have some, even if it's just a few readers, you know those people are expecting a strip to be up. If you tell them I post on Monday and Friday, we better have strips on Monday or Friday, and if you miss that twice, even sometimes once, twice, three times, like, they're gone, you know?
I call it the grandma effect. You know, my grandma gets upset if Super Siblings isn't out. I hear about it.
It's probably good.
You mean you actually got your family to read your comic? We need to talk.
Yeah.
Patrick, how about for you?
Well, you know, I'm a night owl too. You know, it's just working late. That's usually what I end up doing. Borrow time wherever I can get it, you know. And one thing, you know, I don't just watch TV anymore. You know, if I'm at home at night, TV's on, I'm drawing. Because that's the perfect time for me to work on it.
Does it feel like you have two full-time jobs at times? That you're trying to meet deadlines and stuff like that?
Well, it definitely feels like a job, and it requires discipline, you know, to get it done. But I do it because I love it. I wish it was my only full-time job. So I look forward to working on it.
Yeah, I've always said my creative stuff is... like, I can get through my day at work because I have my creative projects and because I do this. Like, that's my passion. And if it's not, then you're going to have problems.
If you're getting into webcomics because you want to become a millionaire, you're in the wrong field. If you love doing it,
what's
the place for you.
What?
I'm sorry to tell you, Patrick.
Dang it.
Not happening.
5 years wasted.
Look, you get to, but again, like, so much, you get to do so much cool stuff. I mean, like,
I get to meet cool people.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
You know, and it's fun, and I love the webcomics community. It's a fun community, fun group of people, fun people to hang out with, friendly people. And I mean, shoot, Phil and I haven't really made tons of money in this, but we've gotten to go to Comic-Con for free for 6 years running.
That was worth it right there.
Worth it right there, you know. The pro badge is awesome. And then just like being part of things like that, and just having opportunities to do panels.
I mean, let's be honest. This feeds our comic addiction anyways, right?
That's right.
We have about time for one more question. We'll go over here.
Make it good.
It's not really a question.
Well, then never mind.
No, but the magazine I said I work for, it's a new online geek magazine. There's a new section for webcomics, so people can submit. Every few weeks there'll be new webcomics, so they can do that. It's epicgeekdom.com.
Epicgeekdom.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, business card magazine?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So, but it'll start on the 1st.
Awesome. There you go. Keeping the ear on the ground for opportunities like that is another big thing, because, you know, that's always, there's always new stuff, and that's what we try to do at webcomicsadvocates.com, is we share that kind of information, like, hey, here's a new place to post your webcomic, or hey, here's a cool community, Like, I just found out about, like, when I found out about Tapastic, I'm like, I put out on webcomicsapplings.com, like, check this out, or if I find some new website or something, and we encourage people to share that, because that's kind of what it's about, the community helping each other out. And speaking of helping each other out.
Yeah, let's, at this final part here, if you have a webcomic, we'd like you to come on up, take the mic, and tell us about it.
Cards or stickers?
Yeah,
or...
bring them up to the table, and
and you get a candy if you share.
Tell us where to find. Yeah, tell us where to find your project.
Hey, we've got to keep it snappy so everybody has a chance. If there's a long line,
there's
so.
A timer.
I'm gonna run a timer.
What's their time limit, Josh?
What are we gonna say? 30 seconds?
Yeah.
30 seconds.
And also, this is helping you because you should be able to pitch your comic in 30 seconds.
Right.
Because usually when you're telling people, that's kind of all the time before they start tuning out. So it's always good. So this is like practice.
Right.
Come on down. Who's first? Sauce of panda. All right.
Yes.
I'll do it.
Someone's got to break the ice. All right.
I'm going to start you off. Go for it.
Okay. EdgarRiceBurroughs.com/comics. Edgar Rice Burroughs is the author who created Tarzan of the Apes, John Carter of Mars, Carson Napier of Venus, Land the Time Forgot, Blue Star at the Earth's Core, and many, many of his stories have been copied. That's where Star Wars came from, that's where Avatar came from, because his first book was The Princess of Mars, which the movie came out as John Carter, and did great internationally, not so well locally. We have 8 comic strips that are weekly. We started this really a year ago, but with only one strip, Tarzan's New Adventures. But beyond that, we last spring we started adding one almost every month, and after we're here now, we have 8 strips up. We've got 2 more coming. The Mucker is going to start, and then Korak the Killer. Korak is the son of Tarzan.
And your time.
Okay, so EdgarRiceBurroughs.com/comics.
Awesome. And make sure you grab your thing here.
Give me your cards.
If you would like a candy.
No, it's
alright.
Are
you okay?
Okay. Alright, next. You gotta do it. We already know you have 3 of them.
I know, come on.
So I'll give you...
Alright.
Go for it.
Alright, so I write a webcomic called Trying Human. It's been going on over 5 years now, and it's about ufology, which is like UFOs and aliens, but it's got like a more mystery romance twist with it. It's like 600 some pages now, but there's lots of colorful characters, lots of romance, drama, mystery, all that crap, gay characters, straight characters, it's got a little everything. So. Yeah,
tryinghuman.com. Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah.
Is that correct?
Trying Human, yeah.
Tryinghuman.com. Okay. Great.
Yeah. I read a horror comic right now called
Perfect
Adding
Disarration. Wow.
That sounds like
it's a hot topic.
That's a very niche community there.
Yeah.
I wrote one called Alternating Current. I did for the 24-hour comic challenge, where you write like 24 pages. Yeah,
cool.
Did that one. I've done short UFO comics for like different like mystery anthologies and things like that. So I've got stuff everywhere.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Please grab your team.
Oh, can I talk about like one little service for my mom?
Yes.
Let's promote real quick.
All right.
Okay, so there's a new website called Patreon.com, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Patreon is kind of like a mini Kickstarter, and like somebody can like give you like $1 a month to put out like, I don't know, like sketches or concept art or like extra crap that they normally fit in. I say crap.
That's fine.
Okay. Kind of like stuff that they wouldn't normally see. Right now I'm up to about $100 a month from just random people, you know, but it's $100 I wasn't making before. So, I really recommend Patreon.com. So it's like a mini Kickstarter.
It's kind of like a almost a way of tipping, like creating.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Cool.
It's very cool. Thank you very
Would
much.
Would you
candy? No.
Okay.
Do you want candy?
Anybody else?
Saw this. Even if you haven't started it yet, we want to hear what your idea is.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Come on out.
Go ahead. My brother and I have a webcomic that we just started about 16 weeks ago. I say we, but it's really just my brother. Just the, he draws and writes and everything, and I just give him lots of high five. Yeah, it's part of the creative process, I say. It's called World's Deadliest, worldsdeadliest.com. We got the idea from reading like these old vintage like martial arts magazines, and they have these like over-the-top advertisements for like World's Deadliest Holds and like one-shot kill moves. So it's about this guy that's like going to all these different World's Deadliest instructors and their crazy ways of teaching martial arts. So, yeah, worldsdeadliest.com, and we've got some like illustrations here.
Cool.
Great. Awesome.
Come on. I want to hear about this halfway comic.
This.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's
hear it.
Yep. Go for it.
Okay, it's going to be called tribe7.com. It's tribe-7.com. 1935, a plague came through and wiped out most of the population of the earth. In London, they had kind of a sort of medical fix. They sent 12 tribes out in different directions to try to keep humanity going. 200 years later is when our story takes place, and one of the tribes is sending a scout back to London to see if anybody's still alive and if they're going to be able to restart humanity and restart culture and civilization.
That's awesome.
Cool.
So it's like this because it's almost written for, we have a whole graphic novel portion of it, but there's no artwork, and I'm trying to find artists and websites and all that.
It's
a domain name.
Good.
Cool, alright. See, any more?
Anyone else? We got a little bit of time here.
You know, one thing I would mention, you know, we've got these things out here on the table, you guys. So as you're leaving, we'd like you to take the samples and stuff. And I actually have a couple books, too. So if anyone would like a graphic novel, I've got 5, and you can have one.
There you go.
And take one of the Webcomics Advocate stickers, because that tells you our website. It's webcomicsadvocates.com. Feel free, if you have questions, if you had something you were too shy or whatever, or you come up with a resource or you want to share your comic, that's the place, webcomicsadvocates.com. It's a Facebook page. But it's been around for a long time, and we have a good base of users. So if you ever have questions or anything or something you want to share, post it on there.
That's the place to go.
Great.
Thank you guys so much for coming today. You guys
thank
awesome.
You for being here. Thank you to Phil Vecchio, Brennan QC, and Patrick Stolen for being here. And we'll see you guys next time.
Come get some stuff. Come get stickers and books.